The United States Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims is now in session. The Honorable Coral W. Peach presiding. God bless the United States and this honorable court.
Good afternoon. This is Judge Peach, and I'm joined by Judge Greenberg and Judge Meredith. We are convened today via video teleconference to consider the arguments in the matter of Jerry E. Godinez versus Dat P. Tran, Acting Secretary of Veterans Affairs, case number 19-2640. Will counsel beginning with appellate's counsel, please make your appearance for our record.
May it please the court, Kenneth Carpenter and Glenda Hurl appearing on behalf of Mr. Godinez.
Thank you.
And Good afternoon.
Go ahead.
Good afternoon. May it please the court, Chandra Kelly with my second deputy, Selkit Nicole Cottle, on behalf of the acting secretary.
Okay, thank you. And Mr. Carpenter, do you wish to reserve time for rebuttal?
Yes, ma'am. 10 minutes, please.
Thank you. Okay, we'll make it 10 minutes. Great. Okay, why don't we go ahead and proceed, Mr. Carpenter?
Thank you very much, Your Honor. May it please the court. This appeal asks this court to expand its interpretation made in its panel decision in Rice v. Shinseki of the provisions of 38 CFR 3.156B and recognize that an issue in this case for secondary service connection constitutes a claim for increased compensation to trigger the provisions of that regulation for purposes of determining whether or not the claim is pending under those provisions. This court recognized in Rice that a claim for increased compensation is part and parcel of a claim for TDIU. Mr. Godinez, in this case, had filed a claim for service connection for sleep apnea. He was not then and is not now service connected for sleep apnea. He, however, does have a pending appeal that ironically is pending before this court in a recently filed notice of disagreement with a decision of the board continuing its denial of service connection. During the course of that proceeding, the VA denied his claim and he filed a notice of disagreement. In the initial claim, he did not make clear that he was seeking secondary service connection. So the VA treated it only as a service-connected claim. Following the filing of the notice of disagreement, he filed both additional evidence and a claim for TDIU. In the VA form 526EZ, which he filed with his original claim, he used a VA form that is titled Application for Disability Compensation and Related Compensation Benefits. We believe that under the interpretation of the regulation, there is no basis to distinguish between a claim for service-connected compensation and a claim for increased compensation, particularly when the two are inextricably intertwined, as in this case.
May I interrupt?
Yes, Your Honor.
Carpenter, I take a somewhat different view of the situation. I'll ask you to bear with me for a moment. Assume that I am Justice Alito approaching the statute he had before him in Henderson, or Justice Ginsburg with the statute she had before her in Scarborough. And I'm looking at 38 USCA 5110. That's the statute we have in this case. Could you tell me how it is in view of the interpretations of, I'm in my forward headquarters here with other phones going on. But could you tell me how in view of the case law from the Federal Circuit, from our own court, interpreting that statute, quite apart from the regulation, how it is that I would come to rule in favor of your client?
Because, Your Honor, the provisions of 5110 do not come into play until there is a determination as to whether or not the claim is pending under 3.156B. Therefore, the court is the VA is required to make a threshold determination under the language of their own regulation as interpreted by this court in Rice to determine whether or not the claim is or is not pending. The Federal Circuit in both Bond and Barad clearly indicated that there are special provisions provided for by the Secretary in his own regulation that are required to be complied with by the Secretary to determine or to assess new and material evidence that is received during the pendency of an appeal. That is precisely the fact set that we have here. There is a pending appeal for the denial of service connection for the sleep apnea, during which time new and material evidence, we believe, was asserted. In that submission, there was a clarification in a cover letter from my law firm indicating that Mr. Godinez was applying for sleep apnea as a secondary condition to his service-connected PTSD, for which he was seeking an increase schedulally above 50%, the present rating, and for TDIU. Therefore, the provisions of 5110 simply do not come into play until the VA has completed its regulatory obligation, as interpreted by this court in Rice and by the Federal Circuit in Bond and Barad, to determine whether or not this is or is not a pending claim. Now, well, clearly, the VA...
You've got a real combat veteran here. Among his other decorations, he's got a combat infantryman badge from Vietnam. So he's up there in years as well as everything else.
Yes, he is.
What is it that you want us to order the VA to do so that on an expedited basis, he gets the result you want?
To determine whether or not there is or is not a pending claim under the provisions of 3.156B. The board said that they didn't have to apply 3.156B because he did not articulate that this was a pending claim for PTSD. That is not the criteria under 3.156B. In the first place, it only describes claim. There is no specificity of pleading requirement either in the VA system generally or in the provisions of 3.156B specifically. Therefore, what was required was for the VA to comply with their regulatory obligations self-imposed to determine whether or not there was or was not a pending claim based upon their receipt of the TDIU app and the Social Security earnings record during the appeal period. The other problem is that when the board made its analysis, the board made its analysis as though this were a decision on the claim for TDIU. In fact, the decision that was ultimately made by the VA to award the benefit of increased compensation was to grant a 100% scheduler rating. Then the VA made a determination in its, let me just get the exact date here, January 27th, 2016 rating decision, and that's in the record at RBA 169 to 174. And at page 172, they denied TDIU on the basis that it was moot since the veteran had been granted 100% and that earlier effective date for TDIU, which had not been granted, was also moot. And that is simply not correct as a matter of law. The TDIU was never determined favorably or unfavorably. They said that it was moot because of the grant of the 100% rating, which would be true for the period from 2015, which was the effective date. However, if there was a pending claim, then that would be entitled to consideration for TDIU as a matter of law under the analysis in Rice, Bond, and Barad for consideration of a 2014 effective date for TDIU as well as for the 100% evaluation for the PTSD.
So what effective date do you want?
The 2014 date of the claim for sleep apnea on the VA form 21526EZ filed on May 30, 2014.
And what about this Manzanares case?
The Manzanares case deals with a different fact set, in which in Manzanares, the issue was a secondary a condition on the basis of an effective date for a claim that was not part of the same claim stream. And the court found, following its decision in Ellington, that two claims, because they were in different claim streams, could not be considered under 5110 as being the same claim. Right. Here, however...
So you're saying we're not barred by Manzanares and Ellington as decided by the Federal Circuit in making the determination you want here.
That is correct. To the contrary, you're bound by Bond and Barad and the supplemental authority submitted by the government of Ross is not binding on this panel either, because that was another case similar to Manzanares and
Ellington.
I'm sorry. Thank you, Your Honor. That dealt with a claim that was not part of the same claim stream. And the whole purpose and function of 3.156B is determined whether or not it is or is not part of the same claim stream. And if the board had correctly applied 3.156B, then the board would have made its assessment and made a determination that it wasn't a part of that same claim stream. They didn't do that. They simply said that 3.156C was not for application because the PTSD issue had not been explicitly raised. And that was an error of law.
Judge Greenberg, could I jump in? So I want to follow up on Ross and Manzanares. You started out your discussion.
I'm sorry, on Ross and Manzanares, is that what you said, Your Honor?
Yeah. You started out the discussion by saying that secondary service connection is a claim for increased compensation, but Ross and Manzanares stand for the propositions that secondary service connection is not a claim for increased compensation. You're seeking service connection for an additional disability, and that secondary service connection claim is not part of the primary service, the claim relating to the primary condition. So why are those cases not at least highly persuasive, if not controlling here, in that seeking an additional service-connected disability is separate from seeking a worsening of the already service-connected primary condition?
In Ross, Ellington, and Manzanares, that claim for secondary condition was made independent of any other action, and in fact, I believe all three of those cases, the disposition of the rating was not in play. It was final, at least pending any further action. In this case, there was a separate pending action that took place as part and parcel of the pending claim for secondary service connection, which is why this appeal is framed in terms of an expansion of this court's holding in Rice. What this court held in Rice was a recognition that a claim for increase and a claim for TDIU, which had previously been treated as separate claims, were in fact part and parcel of the same claim.
But so you characterized the 2014 claim as one for secondary service connection. Whether we agree with that or not, it's not a claim for an increase. So when is the first claim for an increase? Is 2015? Under those cases, they can't be part and parcel under that case law because they're separate matters of seeking service connection for an additional disability versus seeking a higher rating for an already service-connected condition.
And if the facts were as they were in Manzanares, Ellington, and Ross, that would be correct, Your Honor. However, in these facts, we have a claim for secondary service connection, which is now in fact pending before this court, if in fact there is a grant of that benefit, then that benefit will go back to 2014 because that was the date of the claim. The date of the claim is what is to be established by doing the assessment required under 3.156B based upon this court's decision in Rice and the Federal Circuit's expansion of Rice in Bond and Barad. In those cases, they recognized that the burden or the obligation to make the assessment under 3.156B was an independent duty self-imposed by the secretary that was mandatory. It is not permissive. And the board did not make that assessment because they mistakenly determined that something had to be pled with specificity in order to do that. You are correct in your You are correct in your characterization of the facts in Manzanares, Ellington, and Ross to the extent that these were separate proceedings. The question, the matter at issue in this case is whether or not they are or are not part and parcel. And we believe that the nature of the claim being secondary ties it to the ultimate determination of what he was seeking when he submitted the new and material evidence of his desire for a TDIU rating. He could have received a TDIU rating based upon his 50% rating for his PTSD, and there are two other conditions, one of which is tinnitus, and I don't remember what the other one is off the top of my head, but those conditions, I do not believe, would have combined to meet the scheduler requirements of 4.16A, but that's not pertinent to the entitlement to TDIU because of the provisions of 416B. And so there would have been an opportunity to determine whether or not there was entitlement to TDIU based upon the pending claim, because it put at issue whether or not, in the context of a secondary claim, if granted, would have resulted in additional compensation, just as an award for any other additional disability found to be service connected. It adds to the veteran's overall compensation on the basis that they have additional disabilities which are to be rated under the combined rating table.
Mr. Carpenter?
Yes, John.
In May of 2014, Mr. Gudinas filed a claim for sleep apnea.
That is correct.
Okay, and you're saying that his sleep apnea was the secondary to his PTSD.
Yes, which was clarified when we filed the evidence submission and then the later the supplemental claim.
Okay, so he has a sleep apnea claim secondary to his PTSD. And you're saying that means that also is a claim for increased compensation for PTSD.
I am asserting that, Your Honor, but our position is that under the interpretation of 3.156B made by this court and the Federal Circuit, that the VA has self-imposed an obligation to make that very assessment, and they never made that assessment as is mandated by Bond and Barad. And that assessment is the question of whether or not there is or is not a connection. They summarily dismissed the lack of a connection because they said it hadn't been specifically pled as a claim for increased compensation for PTSD.
So his original PTSD claim was filed way back in 2005?
In five, that's correct, Your Honor.
He was awarded a 50% disability.
That's correct.
And then 9 years later, 10 years later, he files for sleep apnea as secondary to his PTSD. That claim was denied by the RO in September of that 2014. He filed a notice of disagreement then in September of 2014. And about a little more than a year later, a letter, he writes a letter saying that he is, that he switched counsel and that he's going to pursue a claim for sleep apnea as secondary to PTSD, okay, and that he's going to also file a claim for TDIU and a PTSD claim. And you're saying that's enough to make the PTSD claim in play?
To trigger the provisions of 3.156B. 3.156B uses the generic term claim. There is nothing in the provisions of 3.156B that says that a claim must be pled with specificity. What the board has done here is to superimpose upon the plain language of 3.156C a specificity requirement that the claim specifically identify the increased service connection basis for triggering 3.156B. Our position is that as in Bond and Barad, the Federal Circuit determined that this was an independent obligation of the Secretary of his own making.
Just a moment, please. Let's add another 3 minutes to Mr. Carpenter's time. Thank you. You're saying that the October 2015 letter is new and material evidence?
Yes, I am, Your Honor.
To which claim?
To the claim that was pending for sleep apnea as a secondary condition.
Okay, not the PTSD claim. No.
Well, what I'm saying is that under the rule articulated in Rice, this court found that a claim for increase was part and parcel of a claim for TDIU, recognizing for the first time that there is no distinction between a increased basis schedulally versus an increased basis on TDIU. We are asking for an expansion of that ruling that would say that it is permissible for the VA to find that a secondary condition that otherwise meets the requirements under 3.156C is part and parcel of a claim for increase, because the result of an award for a secondary claim is to add to the veteran's compensation, resulting obviously in an increase in that compensation.
But isn't that what Manzanero says it wasn't?
In the context of a award that had been made for the primary condition, which was not in play at the time in which the secondary claim was made, and nothing was put in play relative to the underlying primary claim within the window, and there are actually two windows. One is the 1 year after the decision, and then the pendency of an appeal is the other window. And in neither of those two windows in Manzanares was the issue of the primary condition put into play. And we're saying that since it was put into play, there was a decision and a appeal initiated that met all of the threshold requirements to trigger 3.156B assessment by the VA, since it received new and material evidence. And then they were required under Bond and Barad to determine whether or not that new and material evidence did or did not relate back to the sleep apnea claim. And clearly, the VA would have the right to say, or the board would have the right to say, that they don't think it was related back. But they didn't do that. What they said was, is you didn't file a specific claim for PTSD until 2015, and therefore the provisions of 3.156B do not apply. That was an error in law.
Thank you. Judge Greenberg, Judge Meredith, do you have any further questions for Mr. Carpenter at this stage?
Not at this stage.
No, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Carpenter.
Thank you very much, Your Honor.
Counsel, you may begin any time.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good afternoon. May it please the court, Chandra Kelly, on behalf of the Acting Secretary. The court should affirm the board's decision as appellant's interpretation of 3.156B is unsupported by statute or case law. Here, the board's factual determination as to the application of 3.156B was proper, and in accordance with 5110A, October 26, 2015 is the appropriate effective date for appellant's 100% rating for PTSD. Appellant was granted service connection for PTSD in September 2005. He later filed an increased rating claim in July 2008, which he supplemented in August 2008. A December 2008 rating decision denied his claim, and he did not appeal that decision. In May 2014, he filed a claim for sleep apnea. It is silent for any mention of a psychiatric condition. When that claim was denied, he filed a notice of disagreement in August 2014. The notice of disagreement is also silent as to any mention of a psychiatric condition. Appellant then in October 2015 raised the theory of service connection as secondary to his PTSD for the first time. Even a sympathetic reading of his May 2014 claim wholly fails to establish that he intended to seek benefits for sleep apnea as secondary to his PTSD or as an increased rating for his service-connected PTSD. Furthermore, the procedural history here indicates that he's aware of the claims process and knows how to request an increased rating if that was his desire. As the court noted in Ross v. Peek, a claim for increased compensation is one where a veteran asserts that an already service-connected condition has worsened, and not whereas here a veteran asserts that he or she has incurred an additional disability as a result of the service-connected condition. The present board decision remanded appellant's sleep apnea claim, finding that the record lacked sufficient medical evidence to verify the connection between the two. The sleep apnea claim was subsequently denied on a direct and a secondary basis in April of 2020, and as counsel noted, is presently on appeal before this court in docket number 205912. While 3.103A requires the VA to maximize a veteran's benefit, the board is only required to consider theories of entitlement that are either raised by the claimant or reasonably raised by the record, as this court has found in Robinson. Here, the record at the time of the present decision was less than 900 pages. And within those pages, there was no lay or medical evidence prior to the filing of October 2015 that would indicate that the sleep apnea could be related to the PTSD. To the extent that appellant appears to be arguing that the October 2015 claim was new and material evidence of the May 2014 sleep apnea claim, that's contrary to case law, as a new theory of entitlement is not new and material evidence. Here, appellant relies upon the court's prior findings in Bond and Broad. Those cases are distinguishable. In Bond, the Federal Circuit held that 3.156B requires the VA to evaluate any submissions during the relevant period for whether such submissions are new and material evidence relevant to a pending claim. There, the issue involved a single disability of PTSD. Here, appellant is attempting to expand that analysis to merge two separate disabilities and claim streams for PTSD, which is service-connected, and sleep apnea, which continues to be denied by VA. In Barad, which also dealt with a single disability, that being headaches, the Federal Circuit held that where an appellant submits evidence during the appeal period following the VA decision, the claim remains pending until VA addresses the evidence submitted. In the present case, VA addressed the October 2015 submission, including the Form 218940 and his Social Security earnings record in its January 2016 decision. PTSD wasn't pending then because there wasn't a claim. As to appellant's reliance upon Rice and Harper, Those would not be applicable here, and there is no logical extension to include secondary service connection. Rice involved a request for TDIU made in connection with the appeal of initial disability evaluation, where both issues were adjudicated in the same rating decision and were appealed together to the board. Under such circumstances, the court held that the determination of whether the appellant is entitled to TDIU, including the effective date for that award, is part and parcel of the determination for the initial rating for that disability. Part and parcel means indistinguishable, not related, or secondary. There is nothing inherent to the ratings for psychiatric conditions, which is what PTSD is rated under for diagnostic code 9411, and sleep apnea, which is rated underneath the respiratory code. Likewise, in Harper, the court affirmed its prior holding and addressed whether failure to appeal an RO grant of TDIU bifurcated the issue from the appealed increased rating claim. Appellant wants this court to treat his May 2014 claim for service connection for sleep apnea as a claim for an increased rating for his service-connected PTSD without any evidence prior to October 2015 that the claims were related. Neither Rice nor Harper stands for this proposition or allows the court to ignore established precedent requiring appellant to express an intent to apply for the benefits sought. Here, 5110A governs the assignment of effective dates for awards of veterans benefits. And given that it is not factually ascertainable prior to October 2015, when appellant filed his claim, that his PTSD had worsened, the assigned effective date is appropriate. If there are no questions, we would ask the court to affirm the board's decision as it properly applied 3.156B and the October 2015 effective date, which is in accordance with 5110A.
If I may, counsel, what if the veteran wanted to return to the board or to the regional office and present evidence of the connection between the sleep apnea and the PTSD claim? What would be the secretary's position on that?
Your Honor, I guess it would depend on the evidence and what he submitted in the time frame in which it would it connected the two. Presently, there's not anything in the record that connects sleep apnea and PTSD. And had his original claim from May 2014 gave any indication that his sleep apnea was related to the PTSD, I don't think that we would be here because it would be different circumstances. But there's not even the slightest indication that those things are connected. So when we're trying to establish the appropriate effective date, the only date we can look at is October 2015, which is what is the initial thing that connects the two.
Well, I think that's a very good answer. As I understood counsel for the veteran, though he, I assume, is making a claim in good faith that if we were to rule that it's still open or should be considered open or pending, and he goes back with his client and perhaps some expert testimony, that the board should, or the regional office first, I imagine, consider the connection between sleep apnea and his PTSD claim. So what's wrong with that position? Why wouldn't the secretary allow him to do that?
Your Honor, there's nothing inherently wrong with that position, but I think that given the circumstances as we have them presently, there's no evidence linking the sleep apnea and the PTSD. So while we could at some later date find that they are connected and there could be some evidence presented, that's not what was before the board at that time. So,
all right. Sorry, I understand that. All right. Let me expand it just a little bit. Suppose the application was, look, when he makes his claim for PTSD, he has no way of telling in the future what the conditions that may be either secondary or an offshoot of it or directly related to it, even though they appear under different rating codes at the department. But sleep apnea is, in his case, connected to the original claim. Suppose he could make that as a medical argument or a factual argument. As I understand it, that's what he wants to do. And if the board says no, they say no. And then they've got a factual determination, which may or may not come before us. But at least he's made it. Whereas now, as I understand it, the record is they just refuse to hear it. So what's the secretary's position on that?
Turner, I think that, again, the issue is about what was reasonably raised. And in the version that you've presented, if ultimately the facts are different, then VA could take a look back. But I think the effective date still needs to be based on when something becomes factually ascertainable. So it will depend on the evidence. Because if a doctor determines, let's say at some point in 2021, that the two things are related, it would become factually ascertainable in 2021. It was not factually ascertainable in May 2014, which is what he would have been asking. There's just nothing that ties the claims together in the evidence that was before the board and that is in the evidence that's before the court now. So given that we have, you know, congressional intent for 5110A for what we need to consider effective dates, while we could, you know, for this particular veteran, give him the benefit back for an additional year, I think it sets a precedent that essentially says we can kind of present information at any point and extend effective dates. And it kind of moots everything the court has done in its findings about what effective dates should be.
Thank you. That's all I have, Judge P.
Thank you. Judge Meredith?
I'm fine, thanks.
And I have no further questions. Unless you have any further argument, counsel, thank you very much.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Mr. Carpenter, rebuttal.
May it please the court. Thank you. I'd like to begin with the discussion that the government raised about the duty to maximize. This court in 1993 recognized that duty in AB and then later in Bradley in the context of special monthly compensation. And then more generally, this court in 2014 recognized that obligation in the Stowers case. It seems to me, Your Honors, that the government is being disingenuous here when they talk about 5110. As I attempted to explain in my opening argument, the provisions of 5110 do not come into play until such time as there is a determination under 3.156B as to whether or not there is or is not a pending claim. Now, the board addressed this issue as though there had been a grant of TDIU. There never was a grant of TDIU. There was a grant of increased compensation on a scheduler basis to 100%. Therefore, there were three pending issues at the time in which the VA made its two ratings decisions here. The first one in 2014 that dealt exclusively with sleep apnea. The second one was in 2016 when they dealt with scheduler rating only and found that TDIU was moot. As a result, the VA did not address the 2014 matter that was in appeal status, even though they acknowledge in 2015 that they had been put on notice that this was a secondary claim, not a direct service connection claim for the sleep apnea. Mr. Godinez was forced to appeal that decision in order to get a remand to get the secondary claim adjudicated. As the government acknowledged, that secondary claim has now been adjudicated, and it was adjudicated adversely, both at the agency level and before the board, and is now back before this court. So the plain language of the statement of policy in 3.103 by the secretary is that it is the obligation of the VA to render a decision which grants every benefit. Every benefit in this case includes the sleep apnea, includes TDIU, and includes the scheduler rating. The error that was made in this case was the failure to correctly apply 3.156B by concluding that it was not applicable because it only dealt with the issue, or because it didn't specify the issue of increased compensation for PTSD. That is not what the regulation says. That's not what the case law says. And more importantly, that's inconsistent with the obligation to grant every benefit. The potential additional benefits that are available are an award of TDIU, not just in the 1 year prior under 5110B, but all the way back to 2014, if it is determined that the claim that was filed for secondary service connection was a pending claim, because it was, once the notice was received by the VA and during the pendency of the appeal of that denial, a secondary claim.
All right, if I may. And sorry to interrupt your thought, but
that's okay.
What do you want us to do? I mean, we've heard the government. Sounds pretty compelling to me. What do you, when you go, if we were to order that you remand and you go back and represent the veteran, what are you going to present to the secretary for the effective date of 2014 on the sleep apnea, which is what I am assuming you want? Am I incorrect?
Well, you're not incorrect, but you're only partially correct.
And it's related to the original. It's related to the original PTSD.
And if that determination is made favorably, then they are required to consider an effective date for the 100% scheduler rating, along with the between 50 and 100% from 2014 to 2015. As well as consider whether or not there is an entitlement to TDIU based only upon the PTSD and the other service-connected disabilities. That seems to me what is being missed by the government in their analysis of the board's decision. The board is required by bond and barad to make this assessment. They never made the assessment. The Federal Circuit reversed in both of those cases because the assessment wasn't made. It's not about the end result, although obviously Mr. Godinez wants the end result, but he also has a pending appeal before this court on the question of whether or not the sleep apnea is secondary. But that appeal does not resolve this appeal, even if it were to be fully granted, because the only thing that does is to remove any doubt that what was pending in 2014 is related to the new and material evidence that was received in 2015.
All right. I'm struggling with your argument, Mr. Carpenter. Actually, I'm focused more on the statute than on the regulation. And I would read the statute more broadly than the government does, and perhaps more consistent with your position. But having said that, what more are you going to present, or what more is to be presented that hasn't been presented to the government in order to sustain your claim for a different effective date?
But Your Honor, as this court in Rice and the Federal Circuit in Bond and Barad explained, you can't determine the effective date until you make the assessment. There's been no assessment as to whether or not what was received in October of 2015 was or was not new and material evidence which related back to the 2014 claim. There is nothing for Mr. Godinez to do until they make that assessment. If they make that assessment favorably, then the VA is required to consider an effective date back to 2014. If they make that determination negatively, then that is subject to appeal for a determination as to whether or not those conditions are or are not related to the 2014
condition. All right. So are you saying that the VA has before it already everything it needs to make the assessment on the merits?
Yes. On the merits of the question of the outcome under 3.156B, yes.
All right. I think I understand your position.
Thank you. If there are no further questions, or if there are any other questions, I'll be happy to respond to them. If not, I'd be prepared to submit the matter to the panel.
Nothing more from me.
Thank you, Judge Greenberg. Judge Meredith?
Nothing more. Thank you.
Thank you. And I have no further questions. Thank you very much, Mr. Carpenter.
Thank you, Your Honors. I apologize for my technological deficiencies.
No problem. No need to apologize. What we'll do at this point is we will submit the case, and the court is adjourned, is recessed. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Your Honor.
Court is in recess.